Welcome to Vital Minds, a podcast series brought to you by the PA Foundation, the philanthropic arm of the American Academy of PAs. The PA Foundation's mission is to empower PAs to improve health through philanthropy and service. Join us as we connect the most vital issues in clinical care with the top minds who face them every day. We'll talk with PAs and other healthcare providers about disease diagnosis and treatment, patient interactions, and the critical care needs this profession provides to patients around the world. I'm James Millward, also a PA and your host for Vital Minds. Joining us on today's episode of Vital Minds is Melinda Thomas, PAC. Melinda Thomas is the Associate Medical Director of the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Program, where she has practiced since 1998. The BHCHP is a federally qualified community health center that provides primary care, behavioral health, medical respite, and dental care to approximately 12,000 men, women, and children experiencing homelessness in Boston. She has practiced at various BHCHP locations during her tenure, including outreach sites, primary care clinics, and most extensively at the 104-bed medical respite. She has helped to lead the oral health integration efforts that have been ongoing for several years at BHCHP and has attended the annual Physician Assistant Leadership Summit on Oral Health. Melinda, it's great to have you here with us today as we take a closer look at oral health and your work in providing oral health care to the homeless.
Oh, thank you, James. I'm happy to be here.
And Melinda, let's jump right in. I know you do a ton of work in this field, so I thought we'd kind of break the ice with what comes to your mind when you're thinking of oral health care and the importance of providing oral health care to those who lack access to it.
Well, that's a good question. And first of all, I'd like to say that oral health really is an important part of just overall health. I know that that sounds obvious, but many in the medical field still think of oral health as a dentist job. And we know that there's clear evidence of an oral systemic connection and that oral disease can really lead to poor health outcomes. And examples of that are premature birth and cardiac valve disease. We also know that oral cancer and periodontal disease are better treated when discovered early. Unfortunately, in this country, significantly more people have access to medical care than they do to a dentist, to dental care. So it's not unusual to find patients who regularly see their medical providers but may never go to a dentist or haven't been there in 10 years, or children that see pediatricians but maybe have never had a dental visit. So it comes to question, if medical staff are not looking in the mouth, who is? And the answer is oftentimes no one is. So the burden of oral disease and access to oral health care is really true in vulnerable and underserved populations and subpopulations such as adults and families experiencing homelessness that we serve at Healthcare for the Homeless in Boston. And our model really revolves around providing access to this kind of quality health care to very medically and psychiatrically complex and very diverse population. And we do this by providing health care in many locations, which means we essentially bring services to where the patients are. For example, our street team sees patients on the streets. They do sidewalk rounds. They see patients under bridges. Other staff see patients in our numerous shelter-based clinics that are open when folks are in the shelter, so in the evening and early in the morning. We have folks working at family shelters, hospital-based clinics. We have treatment program clinics, day programs. It's actually a really long list, and I won't bore you with more of that. But we also have a respite facility where patients can go if they're too sick for shelters and not sick enough for the hospitals. So, you know, as the hospitals have discharged earlier, our acuity and our respite unit has gone up, and we're able to provide that service for our folks. We have 24/7 nursing there and daily medical visits. We work in teams that are multidisciplinary, they're collaborative, they're patient-centered, and they go all over. It's not unusual for a clinician to go to two or three different sites in a week. And we're actually also very fortunate to have a dental team that provides dental services to our patients in two different sites, one at our main location and also one at Pine Street Inn, which is the largest homeless shelter in the city of Boston. And that dental team has been really instrumental in helping us develop our programming around oral health integration.
That's great. It sounds like you guys are doing a lot to really increase access with the use of your street teams and all the different medical providers that you guys incorporate. Now, let's dive a little bit deeper into your team's approach specifically with how you're integrating oral health care into primary care exams. How has this process evolved at Boston Healthcare for Homeless?
Well, it's evolved a lot. And first of all, I'd like to say that we are fortunate to be the recipient of a HRSA grant through the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers that allowed us to set aside time for staff to work on this, on change. At the same time, we were awarded a co-op position, which is a student position by Northeastern University, that paid for a full-time oral health co-op student that is here 9 months out of the year. And that person educates patients, runs our contest, et cetera. And I'll talk more about her later. But those two grants really allowed us to move ahead with a truly comprehensive plan. And while we're talking about it, I also have to add that our dental leadership, led by Colleen Anderson and Al Filzer, who are both dentists, took the lead on many of these aspects. And without their forward thinking and hard work, many of these changes would not have happened. So anyway, we started by looking at our EMR. We identified many areas. Once we really took a look at it, some of the sections of our EMR were pretty sparse. So an example for the in the medical note, our physical exam and our review system sections were really limited. And when we looked at it with a critical eye, we knew we had to expand those, and we were able to do that, just add more options for clinicians to check off. We took a look at our healthcare maintenance section and noticed that the oral health assessment reminder was buried in the back, and realized it wasn't getting a lot of traffic back there, so we were able to move it to a more prominent location in order to remind clinicians to actually do it. Clinicians, when we started talking about doing oral health exams, some of the clinicians commented that it had been a long time since they'd been trained on how to do a really proper, very thorough oral health exam, and they asked for a cheat sheet that had pictures, and so we're able to add a link right into the medical note. So you just click on it, and it brought up the oral health exam right there, and people could follow along if they needed to while they were getting used to doing a really good exam again. And because true integration goes both ways, our dental team made their own changes. We added a patient self-management section to the dental note, so that medical and dental teams could both contribute to the conversation. So this particular note populated both the medical note and the dental note, so dentists could add in their own feedback. And there was evidence that dental teams were also talking to patients about this stuff. So a dental visit now involves getting vital signs. They talk about diabetes. They might talk about high blood pressure. They're definitely talking about tobacco cessation. And because we're co-located, if a dentist identifies a problem, the patient can be walked right up to the medical clinic or in to see a behavioral health clinician if needed because of open access same-day appointments. And the vice versa happens, where if I, as a medical provider, am in and I am seeing a patient for some reason and I do a good oral health exam and I notice there's an urgent dental need, I very often can just walk somebody down and have them be seen. So really good care involves really great collaboration, and by having dental play a role in talking about some of these traditionally medical pieces, that just raises the quality of healthcare that we're able to deliver. So then we focused on staff trainings and education, and we did this through grand rounds. We had small team presentations. We had email reminders. We had a training for frontline staff, like medical assistants, case managers, co-op students. We trained them how to do a really good oral health assessment and made them a form that was easy to follow, and they could do it during triage. In our busiest primary care clinic, we held contests between teams. So there are four primary care teams in our main primary care site, and we had contests between these teams to see who could do the most oral health exams in a specific time period, and that really helped. We had a bulletin board that was showing how each team was tracking over the week. And at the end of the month, we awarded the winning team a lunch of their choice. And it's just a way to add some fun. You know, I think healthcare providers tend to be more on the A type as a, you know, personality type, and most love a little bit of friendly competition. So it was fun. Definitely. But it's also just a really good way to keep awareness of oral health at the forefront of all the staff's minds. So we then shifted gear and really launched into patient education. Our co-op student, who I mentioned earlier, developed patient education flyers, helped us with many of our initiatives, ran the contests, and helped with our dental referral process. She worked with our family team to educate parents and children, And she met with patients in our medical waiting room to talk to them about oral health care and to set up dental appointments and to remind providers that someone might need an oral health exam. She keeps the medical clinic stock, the dental supplies, so that patients can see them, ask for them. They're sitting right there on the exam counter. The toothbrushes she arranged that look like bouquets of flowers, so they're eye-catching and people ask about it. And it's just a good way for clinicians to remember to do a good oral health exam while they're there, or check and see if it's been done. And, of course, we're tracking data as we go to see how our teams are doing in terms of oral health exams. And we included dental in this because they should be doing good oral health preventative screening, too, and they are. It's a good way to see how we were progressing overall. And so just by doing this limited number of interventions, we're able to double the number of oral health exams being done. So we were happy with how it was going. And then, you know, I'd like to add, the medical field is ever changing. And we recently migrated to another EMR. So all those EMR changes really went away. And we migrated to another EMR that in some ways is better set up for oral health exams and oral health documentation. In some ways it isn't. And if anyone's ever been through an EMR migration before, they know that it's a huge undertaking for any healthcare organization. And we're really just getting to the point where we can talk about optimization now. And so we're working now, again, and when I say we, I'm on the medical side. I'm working with the dental team to take a look at the processes on either side and kind of regroup and see what improvements we can make.
That's great. Sounds like you guys have thought through quite a few of the different aspects that go into this overall problem of addressing oral health. Now, before we go on, I want to remind our listeners that Vital Minds is a podcast series of the PA Foundation, a national nonprofit organization that promotes better health and wellness by providing PAs and PA students with philanthropic opportunities and resources. Now, Melinda, I'd like to focus on the challenges that you and your team experience with patients in taking oral health care to the streets. What complications do you see arise in working with patients who are homeless? And how do these kind of impact your ability to accurately diagnose or recommend treatment to these patients?
Well, as you know, we work with a very complex patient population, and our patients may be struggling with untreated or undertreated mental illness, may have a substance use disorder, they likely have a chronic illness, maybe significant trauma history. I'm just trying to paint a picture that they are also chronically stressed, they're sleep deprived, have a general lack of resources such as transportation, healthy food, reliable phone service, etc. And so we like to talk about care in terms of competing priorities. So our patients may be focused on finding a safe place to stay, locating their next meal, and that might take priority over coming in for a medical or a dental appointment. So these are difficulties that our patients face, and our challenge is to insert healthcare in there somewhere. Additionally, our patients tend to be really, really sick. Visits can be long and complicated, and building oral health into an already long, complex patient visit can be tough. And how do you keep oral health on everyone's mind when our patients are dealing with overwhelming challenges such as trauma, chronic illness, and overdoses? So I have some of the answers, how we've approached it. Our team is actually very good at diagnosing in some of the oddest locations. So to do a really good oral health exam, you really don't need a whole lot. You just really need a good light, a tongue depressor, gloves, and some gauze, and you can do a great exam. And so this can happen anywhere, and it does. So it can happen under a bridge, it can happen in the streets, it can happen in a shelter-based clinic, it can happen in a treatment program, et cetera. And that's where we do care, and so we are doing oral health exams there. But the challenges are many. One of the challenges is figuring out how to follow up. So if I'm out there and I see a patient who has a really concerning dental issue that I don't have the expertise to treat, then sometimes it can take a whole team to get a patient into that appointment. Because, they're thinking of other things. They might have substance use disorder, and they might have paranoid schizophrenia. they may just have a housing appointment that they need to get to, and housing is of utmost importance. So it can, again, it takes a whole team sometimes to get someone into an important appointment. Or say you have somebody who, you have a patient who's scheduled for or had oral surgery or extensive extractions. Where do they go to recuperate? You know, they need soft foods. If you live in the shelter, you got to get out early in the morning and you can't get back in until later in the evening, and you don't really have a choice about what you eat. So we're fortunate enough that we can admit folks to our respite facility where patients can go to recuperate after oral surgery, and they can get a lot of education done there too. So I've talked about oral health exams, adding time to an already long patient visit, and what we found and what many other folks around the country have found, that is, if you're practiced at it, a good oral health exam takes you only a couple minutes. So it really doesn't add any significant time to any visit. So other, you know, challenges, patients lose toothbrushes or have them in, you know, not sanitary areas and need frequent replacement. So we counter this by handing out lots of supplies constantly and by keeping dental supplies displayed in the clinics. Like I said, the little toothbrush bouquets. And really the biggest challenge for us is how do you keep oral health in the front of people's minds with all these other challenges. And our answer is really just to talk about it a lot with staff and with patients, make it easier to get dental services with open access or same-day appointments, set the expectation that oral health exams can happen not just at a primary care appointment, but it can happen at any walk-in appointment. Keep the topic front and center for clinicians with cues in the EMR. That helps a lot. And then, you know, the fun stuff like educational activities, health fairs, and running contests and things like that.
Very good. And now finally, for the PA students listening in, can you draw from your experience in oral health and your community outreach and leave us with a single piece of advice?
So really, I mentioned this already. It takes 2 minutes to look into somebody's mouth, and it takes 2 minutes to do a really thorough exam. And it's an opportunity to talk to your patients about oral health. And while you're a student, take the time to really learn it well and ask questions about it. It's your opportunity to get in and really experience it while you have support. And this, you know, this alone will benefit you and your patients in the long run. Oral disease is preventable, and it may be up to you in the end to drive that care.
Melinda, this has been extremely informative and inspiring. Thank you so much for your perspective on the issues and for your tips for future generations of PAs. For those of you listening in, feel free to swing by the PA Foundation website for Melinda's recommended resources on the importance of oral healthcare and to learn more about the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless program. For that information and to find every episode of Vital Minds, we encourage you all to visit our website at pa-foundation.org. Support for this episode of Vital Minds is provided by the National Interprofessional Initiative on Oral Health, with funding from the DentaQuest Foundation and the Arcora Foundation. Until next time, everyone, thanks for tuning in. I'm James Millward, and this is Vital Minds.